Hello, everybody. This is Joey D, and I'll be telling you my story of the Great Debates. So, in order to start talking about debate, you should probably know what debate is. Debate is something that is comprised of three parts. You have your constructive, you have your cross-examination, you have your rebuttals. There are two teams, affirmative and negative. And it's usually the affirmative wants something to change, the negative doesn't want that change. They just want everything to stay the same. Specific definitions, the cross-examination, or cross-ex, is the examination of a witness who has already testified in order to check or discredit the witness's testimony, knowledge, or credibility. You're like questioning them, and it's often a very important part of debate. It can often make or break whether or not you're going to win, and it's very difficult. Now, my first debate was called an impromptu debate, meaning there's little prep involved, and you just kind of roll with it. You pick your topic, and you usually get like a day in between, and then you immediately roll into your debate. And well, this is often a very fun way to kind of get into debating. I was still a nervous wreck over this sort of thing. And when they arrived, I was definitely not prepared. And I was up against a very tough opponent, one of the best in my class. I still had hoped that I'd win, though, because I considered myself to be capable. I was not. I lost that debate. Three votes to 15. A crushing defeat. And it definitely highlighted how unready I was for the challenge that would be debate. I definitely needed some more prep and definitely some fine-tuning of my skills before I could really be better at it. Losing that first debate was definitely something that hurt my confidence. So going into my second debate, I was a lot less confident in my ability to win. This next debate wasn't an impromptu debate. It was a policy debate, which means that it's a policy debating usually U.S. policies. It's a two-on-two debate. So I would have a partner on my team. And that certainly helped me have that confidence that I needed to do it. And even, I definitely was still underprepared for this debate. I definitely should have done more research, but I still ended up winning by a handy margin, and partially due to my partner. But we were a great team, and we both contributed, and that win was definitely very important to me starting to build my confidence. The policy debate was kind of easy. I was up against two people who were definitely underprepared and definitely weren't the best. And so, while that did give me confidence, it definitely wasn't the hardest challenge. My next debate was probably my hardest challenge in my entire debate class, the Lincoln-Douglas debate. This is a one-on-one debate on any topic that we can choose. And I so happened to be paired up against Hannah Kim, the senior valedictorian at the time. I, being a junior, was terrified. And despite that fear, I still decided that I was overconfident from my policy debate, and I told her, I'll win, no matter what topic she chooses, and I will debate on any side she wants me to. And so, she decided to debate whether or not the bombing of Japan in World War II was justified. I was supposed to justify it. During this debate, I was underprepared as usual, but the talent that I had started to develop definitely shone through. And I definitely didn't. It wasn't a clear victory for either side. And so when the votes were tallied the following day, I had lost 7-5. However, three people had not yet voted. And those three votes all went to me, one by one, giving me the 8-7 victory by one vote. Since I had just won my Lincoln-Douglas debate by such a small margin, I was definitely confident. I had beaten the smartest kid in the school. And so the final exam came. This was our last debate. And it's definitely another very, very difficult one. It's called a hot air balloon debate. Five people enter, only one comes out on top. And this is, was the only debate where winning also affected your grade. So it was very important. And the topic that we were debating on was something that was definitely very difficult to argue. Who is the most influential person of all time? Now, there are lots of options, and you can choose both positive or negative influence. It's still influence. It's just about who had the most of it. There were lots of options. People chose some of the greatest philosophers, people who made history, people who made some of the greatest achievements. But there were also a group of us who chose the people who did the worst things. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Emperor Hirohito. Those were all people in my group. I chose to represent Genghis Khan, the ruler of the Mongol people, murderer of 40 million people in his day. Through three rounds of debate, back to back to back, there's no stopping. People just get eliminated every round, and you don't get to see the voting. You just come back in and then hope that you weren't the one who got voted off. In my five-person group, it was me, three military leaders, and the first person to ever live, Gao Cao. Gao Cao was the first one out. And then there were four people left, and so we did two one-on-one debates. I was paired up against Adolf Hitler, while Joseph Stalin faced Emperor Hirohito. Adolf Hitler, the person representing him anyways, had been using this character for the last 3 years in a row. He knew what he was doing, and he had won all those 3 years. So the odds were definitely not stacked in my favor here. However, coming back in after our debate, I had passed the round. Adolf was out. And then on the other side of the bracket, Emperor Hirohito had beat Joseph Stalin in a big upset. The final debate, Emperor Hirohito against Genghis Khan, and we debated. And there was a long pause after the votes were tallied. That moment of anticipation. And I had won. And with that being, with that having happened, I got an 105% on my exam grade, and that solidified my place as the best debater in that class.